Any of us here who have suffered the condition of having to think about things or read a book or understand the news or learn about the future understands that renewable energy is a big part of the future we're going to have in the world and in Australia, and it is in fact inevitable. To speak with us about renewable energy, please welcome Mr. Michael Mazengarb, who's an academic and research energy analyst.
Just to start off, I'm going to be sort of open and transparent to say that I have a bit of vested interest in what I'm going to talk about, because I'm currently employed by a solar consultancy and working in our clean energy economy that is growing rapidly but is very much under threat. Those who have been following the news this week would have seen that the Dick Warburton RET review released its final report and recommendations on the renewable energy target. Now, before I go into the outcomes and what was recommended, I'd just like to give a bit of a context in terms of what is going on in the renewable energy industry in Australia. This is an industry that has grown dramatically in the last 5 to 6 years. I started working in the sector in about 2008, and I was working for the federal government at the time, working for the Renewable Energy Target Implementation Organisation. And when I started, this was a cottage industry. This was very small. In 2006, just 1,000 solar rooftop systems were installed in Australia. In 2011, with the support of the Renewable Energy Target, that grew to 360,000 systems. In the space of 5 years, the industry grew from being able to install the same number of systems it installed in an entire year to being able to install that many systems in a day. This is an industry, this is a policy that has supported over $20 billion of investment in renewable energy, and has supported the creation of over 24,000 jobs. This is a trend that's not just happening here in Australia, it's happening around the world. Bloomberg, which is a major investment and financial analyst company, has forecast that over $5 trillion is going to be invested in renewable energy out to 2030. This is a huge market. If Australia wants to grow its economy, if Tony Abbott is genuine about creating jobs and having Australia being open for business, this is a huge market that we should be taking a piece of. The renewable energy industry has reached the point now where over 2 million people, or 2 million households in Australia, have either solar panels on their roof or a solar hot water system. I'm sure there's plenty of people. Can you put your hand up here today if you've got solar panels or solar hot water on your home? Look at that. That's amazing. If the renewable energy target policy was left in its current form, it would stimulate even further investment. There's another $15 billion worth of investment available to the industry that would be made available to the industry if the policy was maintained. This would create another 18,000 jobs in Australia. If you want to create jobs, renewable energy is where it's at. But there are a lot of misconceptions that surround the renewable energy industry. And Tony Abbott and the current coalition government have latched onto those as a way to attack renewable energy. They see renewable energy as a threat to sort of the traditional energy sector that we have here. Australia has an energy sector that is built on fossil fuels. 80% of the electricity that is generated within Australia comes from coal or natural gas. These are assets that are owned by huge multinational companies that have a lot of money to be able to lobby the government. And they do that very successfully. To the point that when it came to review the renewable energy target, Tony Abbott, instead of using the Climate Change Authority, which is an independent body of experts that is legislated to do the review, he ignored that, instead handpicked a panel of what he calls independent experts, but are in fact people who have either worked in the sector or have strong ties. Tony Abbott knew exactly what he was doing when he appointed that panel. To lead it, he appointed Dick Warburton, is a former chair of Caltex and a self-described denier of climate change. His quote was that, "I don't deny climate change, I just believe that man-made global warming isn't a thing." He just doesn't believe it. I've never heard a bigger contradiction. The review set out to investigate and to sort of persecute a few different myths and misconceptions about renewable energy. And they said, look, what you need to do is go out and have a look to see how expensive it is, how reliable it is, whether we can achieve our targets, and what that's going to mean for the Australian economy. While setting out that agenda, Tony Abbott, Greg Hunt, and the rest of the government were out there already expressing their opinions about what was going on. Tony Abbott went out and said, renewable energy is unreliable. His quote is that if the wind doesn't blow and the sun doesn't shine, the power doesn't flow, which is just nonsense. In their submission to the RET review, the Australian Energy Market Operator, which is the organisation that is responsible for making sure that the supply of electricity meets the demand, they are the company that is responsible for making sure your lights stay on, came out and said that reliability is not an issue. We already have a certain amount of renewables in the grid. We can handle that. If you keep increasing it, it's fine. We'll be able to maintain a reliable grid without any need for fast increases in investment. They said the actual cost of meeting that reliability requirements would be negligible. The myth that renewable energy is unreliable was busted by the company that should know. Next, the government said we couldn't meet the target. The target is too ambitious. We don't have the resources to be able to build enough wind turbines or install enough solar panels to be actually meet the target. Well, Bloomberg, the very reputable investment analyst, came out and said, again, that's nonsense. There's a huge supply of systems that are being made in China or Germany or the US that unfortunately aren't being made here, but that we could use to meet the target. Meeting the target was not a problem. The next step was that Tony Abbott came out and said that the cost of renewables was too high. And in doing this, they appointed a company called Acel Allen, which has been known to do modelling for the coal industry, to make arguments for the coal industry against carbon pricing, to go out and model how much renewable energy is going to cost consumers. What they found, and an amazing contradiction of what the government has been saying, is that in the long term, renewable energy, the renewable energy target and increasing the target will actually save you more money in the long term than repealing it. And this makes sense, because while renewable energy is expensive to install, when you compare the cost of installing, say, a solar farm or a wind turbine against a gas-fired generator or a coal-fired generator, the actual cost of installing it is higher. But because there's no ongoing costs, because you don't have to pay for fuel, the actual cost in the long run is cheaper for renewables than it is for fossil fuels. Acel Allen found that in their modelling, and they didn't even take into account the cost of the emissions that come from fossil fuels. Renewable energy is able to stand alone, stand up and deliver energy cheaper than fossil fuels, even without ignoring the environmental benefits that it delivers. And the health benefits. All you have to do is ask the people of Morwell what the health impacts of fossil fuels can be. And so when Dick Warburton looked at all of this evidence that had been presented to him, he was effectively left with one final argument as to why we should reduce the renewable energy target. And his recommendation was that either we close the renewable energy target and not allow any additional power stations to benefit from the incentives that are available, or dramatically reduce the target so that the impact is very negligible. Either way, it's going to kill the industry. And the argument that they came up with is a question about profits. Acel Allen's modelling showed that if you keep the target where it is, you will deny fossil fuels profits of in the order of $9 billion. And those profits go to renewable energy companies. So they were left with a choice. The government is left with a choice. Do we give $9 billion in profits to fossil fuels, or do we give it to renewable energy? I think everyone would agree that we should give it to renewable energy. The problem becomes that the government is going to make this choice. And the Abbott government does not have a good track record of making decisions and making choices that are beneficial to renewables, and actually has a track record of making decisions that are beneficial to fossil fuels and to mining companies. They repealed the carbon price, they repealed the mining tax, and now they'll probably repeal the RET. We can't trust this government to make the right decision. So that's why we're here today, talking about what we can do to change the government. There's something very simple that you can do here today. The ACT Greens, the local Greens, have started a campaign called One Term Tony. And there's a few Greens people around with Greens t-shirts on, I'll have one, you can come find me after this, asking you to sign a pledge to add your name to a growing list of people that say, I will use my vote in 2016 to not re-elect Tony Abbott. And if we can do that, we can start turning around the mistakes that our government is making now, and then we can limit the damage.
Michael Mazengub, do we want fringe lunatics like Dick Warburton in charge of our renewable energy policy? Good news is, with things like Community Solar Share Project, Solar Share in Canberra, people are putting their hands back in their own power, power back in their own hands, inverted, like solar power, and taking it for themselves. And you don't need governments to do these things. You just need communities working together to develop their own projects, and government will follow. It's inevitable. These fringe outsiders are on their way out.
Yeah.
Yeah.